From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
You are tuned in to Open Journal, a special In Exile edition. This is Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM, KPFT, and HD Digital Channel 1, Houston's community station. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your support. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Rick Campbell. We've long heard the nursery rhyme, March winds and April showers bring forth May flowers. April is a good time to start harvesting water so plants can drink during the dry days ahead. Nell Wheeler and Dean Cook designed systems that can collect and store as much as 3,000 gallons of rainwater in metal tanks. Veterans of KPFT's former beloved program, Ecoology, Nell and Dean have been involved in the environmental justice movement for many years. Nell Wheeler and Dean Cook, welcome to Open Journal.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's great to catch up with y'all. It was a pleasant surprise to run across an article about these metal rain tanks, and then to see that there's a master plumber named Nell Wheeler. I was like, wait a minute, I know this person. And then this Dean Cook, I think this is the guy who used to have beehives made out of logs that were available at some of the farmers' markets around town. And just full disclosure, for many years, y'all were quite regular at the KPFT phone bank during pledge drives, some of our stalwart phone volunteers. And that was always a wonderful thing, getting to hang out around the conference room table at KPFT back when we were still in the building. And we hope to be back in there in not too many months after over a year now of operating from in exile. It was a surprise, pleasantly, as I said. How is it that you came to be doing this building of rainwater storage tanks, Nell, and bringing Dean into the story as well?
Duane, it's all about the garden. I got the gardening bug and saw how much it rains in Houston. And being a plumber, I figured, what the heck? Why can't we store some of that for later? So I put together a system that was rain barrels, and then a few more rain barrels attached to that, and a few more rain barrels attached to that. And then we realized that maybe we could install these for other people. And so other people asked us to help them put together rainwater collection systems, usually with a bigger tank. And then we had some people wanting tanks made out of metal, and we were having a hard time sourcing them. So we thought, well, how hard can this be? Guess what? We found out.
Pretty hard.
So it's been quite an interesting road. Our first tank was in 2011, and it's been pretty interesting. We've grown quite a bit and learned a lot along the way.
Made a lot of mistakes.
That's how you learn the best, I guess. But it's all about the rainwater. Rainwater is definitely the best for the plants. Everybody knows after a good rainfall, you know, your garden looks great. They love the rain. It's the perfect pH. It unlocks the nutrients the way that they want it done. You know, it's so much better for the plants than even city water. So that's what it's all about.
Can you tell us how these systems work?
Well, the rain will fall on the roof. And let's say you have 1,000 square feet of roof area. In 1 inch of rain, you'll be able to capture 623 gallons of water.
Ooh. And so you have to have gutters, and then we tap into the gutter system and pipe it to the tank.
People usually, they can use it either just gravity fed, or you can add a pump, and that will allow you to put in an irrigation system. So there are a lot of different ways to do it.
I noticed on your website, which is metalraintanks.com, that there is a wide range of sizes of these tanks, and I'm guessing a wide range of usages as well. Rick mentioned in the intro up to 3,000 gallons of water in one of these tanks, the large one. Smaller ones, under 100 gallons, I believe. And many of us in the city, where y'all used to be, live on lots maybe similar to mine, about a 5,000 square foot piece of dirt. How would I go about determining what I might want to try to store? You know, part of it, I guess, is doing the math, as you're mentioning, on the square footage of your roof, and then directing that into a storage collection point.
Right.
But then figuring out how much you need for X amount of plants, is that some kind of a consulting thing that y'all do too, or is that going to be something I figure out with my garden friends?
You know, I've been making that type of calculation for a long time, and that's easy for me to do. I have a spreadsheet where which has historic rainfall for the Houston area, and then I can take your square footage of your roof and then the square footage of the garden. And we might talk about adding some extra for just kind of resilience. Many of our customers were very relieved to have a rain tank so that they could have some water to flush the toilets after the freeze, because they didn't have plumbing in the house. But they
I was one of those.
So a number of our customers remarked about how they were able to provide water for their neighbors in a time of pretty serious emergency. So that's a good thing. You know, a lot of people have maybe a townhouse and just a tiny little patio garden. And so they might want something more like 100 to 200 gallons just for a little bit of resiliency and to be able to water a small container garden out back. Still, even with 3,000 gallons, that's still just pretty much a residential irrigation size or a small commercial, you know, for irrigating landscape around the thing. There are tanks that are available up to, I think, 50,000 gallons or more that are, it's a different style. We don't make those, but it's definitely available. And here in Texas is very pro rainwater. Rainwater collection is an integral part of how Texas is trying to meet the water needs of the state. And that's been true for a long time. And one of the things that Texas does is rainwater collection equipment is exempt from sales tax. It's a lot more than it's just legal. It's actually very much promoted. It's encouraged in the state of Texas.
Do you keep an inventory of tanks around, or do you build them to order?
We pretty much build them to order. We usually have a few sitting around, but not many. And there's so many different sizes. And it's, you know, for 6 months or a year, one size will be really popular, and then something else will sell. Well, so you never know what to keep on hand.
Our shop is fairly small, and so we don't really have a lot of extra room for, you know, to store a bunch of tanks.
About how long does it take you to build a tank?
A couple of weeks, sometimes about 2 to 4 weeks.
That's the backlog. It only takes 3 or 4 days, you know, to put together a tank. And that's not working, you know, like you're usually working on 2 or 3 tanks at one time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the little ones are easier than the big ones. We used to make a lot bigger tank, but it's too physically demanding and we're getting old. So we said, we're not going to do that anymore.
You're tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, the mighty 90. Houston's community station, we thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us and supporting this community radio resource. I'm Dwayne Bradley with Rick Campbell in for Stephanie Coleman. We're visiting with Nell Wheeler and Dean Cook. They have a company called Metal Rain Tanks and are friends of KPFT family of Pacificans. They are operating now out in Sealy, Texas, where they have this fabrication shop. I was wondering if you could talk to us about the difference between a stainless steel tank and a metal tank versus plastic tanks. Because we've seen in town a number of folks that have little plastic collection rainwater tanks that you could get maybe through the Houston Green Building Permit Office or something like that. Like little, they'll occasionally have a rain barrel event or a compost bin event or something like that, and they're always plastic.
Two differences, you know, the plastics. Of course, everybody has their own opinion, but some people like the plastic. Some people would prefer the look of the stainless steel. But for longevity, you know, the stainless steel is going to last you the rest of your life. The plastic ones, the lifespan varies from one brand to the next. Some of them only last a few years, and some of them last longer. Some of them are prone to cracking. And you can also buy galvanized. But we started off building galvanized, and our experience was they don't last nearly as long as everyone says they're going to. They rust really easily. We thought, you know, like our grandparents might have had a galvanized cistern on the farm, you know, 100 years ago, and they lasted forever. But it turns out they used lead in the formula for the galvanizing back then. And obviously we don't use lead, and so they just don't last. So they coat them with a plastic paint on the inside to try to prolong the life of the galvanized, but the paint ends up peeling off, and then the tank rusts out.
But another advantage of using a stainless tank is even in a black plastic tank, UV rays can still enter the tank. And it's the UV rays that allow algae to form inside the tank and really foul up the water. So having an opaque tank, that's a big benefit, that you don't wind up with a bunch of algae inside the tank.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Nell. I was going to ask a follow-up about the water that's collected into the tank as it's sitting there over on the side of my house. I've got hundreds and hundreds of gallons. How in the Houston sweltering summer heat am I going to prevent that from just turning into, you know, this bad vision of a funky algae mosquito stew that I really don't want near my house?
No, absolutely. No, mosquito protection is absolutely crucial. And there are really simple ways to do that with screens and, you know, there's a kind of a flapper thing for the overflow so that mosquitoes can't fly up the overflow. And screening it for sure. With the stainless steel, you don't have an algae problem. You will have a little debris in the tank, and it may be, the water on the very bottom is not necessarily going to be so fresh, but, some people do. If you draw the water off of maybe 6 or 8 inches above the bottom of the tank, it's actually pretty good. It's pretty clean right there.
Yeah.
So I do know some people who drink the water right out of their rain tank like that. I'm not one of them, but some of them do.
You know, one of the things that has concerned me, one, I don't have gutters. I'd have to first put gutters on the side of my house to begin the process of being able to funnel the water. But two, then I was thinking, well, what about these asphalt shingles on your average roof like mine? As the rain is beating down on that, what might be getting into the water that I might not like? Is there anything to be concerned about in that aspect?
Yes, you generally won't drink the water from a system that's being collected off of an asphalt roof. But if you're using it for irrigation, it's not a concern. It was already running off into your yard and your flower beds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't seem to do any harm.
Right. For a potable system, a drinking water system, it would be a large system. Even in Houston, it would be 10,000 gallons or more for a small family. And that system would need to come off of a metal roof, because there are too many contaminants on a on an asphalt roof for somebody to want to drink that full time.
Okay.
Well, Mel and Dean, let's talk about gardening for a minute. Can you tell us about your life as gardeners?
Well, we started out just gardening for ourselves, and then we spent a few years gardening and selling at the farmer's market, growing different kinds of produce. We found out it was pretty hard to make a living doing that. It's a lot of work. And we're back to just growing for ourselves, experimenting with different types of vegetables and fruits, and just learning. We're not experts. We're just hacks that enjoy getting our hands dirty, eating what we grow.
It's a never-ending process, right. Growth and learning process.
Right.
Yes.
So, Nell, I remember years ago, one of the things that fascinated me that I learned around the KPFT table from y'all, you're part of a group of folks who would collect and then get together and trade seeds. Do you still look forward to finding good heirloom seeds?
Well, I enjoy that quite a bit, but the small knot of people involved with that has kind of dispersed.
Well, it's kind of the pandemic kind of put a halt to that activity.
There is now a plant swap that I've found about recently, the East End Plant Swap. You might find them somewhere on social media, and sounds like a lot of fun. They're going to be doing one, I think, at the end of the month. We've met a lot of really good people along the way.
Mm-hmm. And Dean, on your side of the equation, any deep relationship with bees anymore?
I still enjoy keeping bees. We moved back in January, and rather than relocate bees out here, I sent my beehives home with some friends, and I'm going to start fresh. I'm building a variation of the hive that I've been using. I'm experimenting with something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about halfway finished with building it before I can put bees in it.
Well, hey, I wanted to ask a question about some work that y'all did for the McGovern Centennial Gardens at Herman Park.
Yes.
What was that like working on that project, and how many tanks did y'all put together?
There are two. There are two tanks there. One is in the family garden, which is a vegetable garden, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And then the other tank is over at their shop. The second tank is being used for making compost tea.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use the rainwater because, you know, in order to run it through their compost tea maker. And I do want to put something else out there, which is that we have enough tanks now around Houston that it has become kind of a Houston look. One of the places that I think you might be interested in is the Houston Farmers Market up at, you know, Caninos, the airline farmers market.
Yeah.
They now have a couple of big tanks. It's around the back. It's where, which is now, I think, where they're encouraging people to come in now that they've revamped the thing. But they're just there to have it as the look, you know, as the farm look and the Houston look. You know, our tanks are kind of part of the culture now, which I think is pretty neat.
It's great. Now, how can we find out more about your company, Metal Rain Tanks? We want to learn more.
MetalRainTanks.com.
We're also on Instagram if you're a picture person. It's just Metal Rain Tanks.
Or 832-630-9556.
And do I still have time to get a tank for the summer and take advantage of the spring rainfall taking me into the summer?
Yes, we always have time. We'll make time for you.
Great. Thank you.
What is it you most miss about ecology and Pat Greer and the radio show on Tuesday afternoons at KPFT and being part of that sometimes?
You always learn something new and interesting.
You know, it's the people. It's that there's always somebody doing something in Houston, and it's really good to hear that, that there's somebody out there continuing to just get out there and do something. It's the people.
Well, it's great to find y'all out there doing something that's conscious and in tune with the planet and the environment. And we're happy to have tracked you down out there. And thank you so much, Nell Wheeler, Dean Cook, for joining us on Open Journal. Again, metalraintanks.com. Thank you for your time. Thanks for what you do. And that being said, it is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. You can always donate at kpft.org. Always put in the memo, Open Journal. We would really appreciate that.
And I'm Rick Campbell. Again, I'm subbing for Stephanie Coleman. Program archives are available at kpft.org. You can subscribe to our podcast at KPFTOJ. If there's anything you've missed, you can find it at either place. We're a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Susan Phillips and Maverick. Open Journal theme music is by Kevin McLeod. And join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. And thanks for your support.
And as always, we'd like to leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. It comes to us from George Washington Carver, who said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these." Take care of each other.
You will have the opportunity to vote in a referendum for 30 days starting June 7th to replace the Pacifica Foundation's bylaws with new bylaws proposed by a group of Pacifica members. If adopted, significant modifications will be made to the Foundation's governance structure affecting both the national and local station boards, including how you, as a listener sponsor, are represented and can participate. To assist you in navigating the complex issues, a graphics-based voter guide can be found on elections.pacifica.org. Alongside the text of the current and proposed bylaws. In order to be eligible to vote, check that your membership is up to date by verifying with your station that you have contributed $25 or performed 3 hours of volunteer work between April 8th, 2020 and April 7th, 2021. It's Houston's community station, 90.1 FM, KPFT, and FM HD1 in Houston.
In today's complex world, filled with complicated instructions like do this, turn here, don't staple, fold, spindle, tape, or mutilate, one way, etc., etc., why not take a break from all of this? Not near a seashore or relaxing in a tropical paradise. Well, the surf's up over at kpft.org. So mouse on over to kpft.org and pledge and renew online. It's easy, uncomplicated, and will give you that warm and fuzzy feeling of having done something good for yourself.